Tones of Greater World had always sounded Argentine to Maya. Quiet, measured, and safe. Her life followed a routine as precisely drawn as the black and white sketches. She loved to draw. She worked as a restorer at the Megacity Gallery, bringing faded oils back to life, but ever no way coloring outside the lines of her own actuality. She lived alone in a small, third-bottom apartment above a bookstore. Every morning, she drank her coffee black. Every autumn, she walked the same path to the gallery, her headphones playing the same old classical orchestras. Her gloamings were silent but peaceful. Books, watercolor sketches, tea. People frequently praised her discipline, her calm address. But what they didn't know was that she didn't choose it. Color had always overwhelmed her. Literally. Maya had a rare condition called emotional synesthesia. Violent passions, her own or others, would spark bursts of color in her vision. Joy was bright on heroic. Love was sanguine red. Sadness a deep ocean blue. For others, feelings were unnoticeable. For her, they stained the world like revealed makeup. It was beautiful but also unsupportable. So she had trained herself to live still, to keep her feelings in check, to avoid people with too important presence, too important passion. Until he arrived. Chapter 2 The Man in the Storm. The storm had arrived unasked one late October autumn. Rain slashed against the altitudinous glass windows of the gallery as Maya was putting finishing traces on a faded 19th-century portrayal of a Viscountess. The colors were soft, photograph, gold, muted pinks, her kind of palette, and also the door opened. He was soaked from head to toe, water trickling from his jacket and ringlets. He looked like trouble in the form of oil, dark eyes, smile just crooked enough to be dangerous, a leather satchel hanging carelessly from his shoulder. And the moment he stepped outside, color exploded in her mind. Orange, crimson, gold. It hit her so suddenly, she nearly knocked over a jar shield. "Hi," he said, shaking rain off his jacket. "Sorry, am I too late for the exhibition?" Maya blinked. "It's closed for the day." "Damn," he murmured, running a hand through his wet hair. "I was hoping to catch it before leaving city." He turned to go, and commodity inside her shocked. Perhaps it was curiosity. Perhaps it was madness. Or perhaps, for the first time, she didn't want the color to fade. "There's a private viewing room," she said. "Some of the pieces haven't been moved yet. You could see them, if you want." He smiled at her, and the color burned again. "Lead the way." Chapter 3 Crimson exchanges. His name was Luca. He was a trip pen, or so he claimed, with a restless spirit and a passport full of stories. He had a voice like music and eyes that saw further than utmost. As they walked through the quiet sec of the gallery, he asked about every oil, not the brushwork or the history, but the stories behind them. "What do you suppose she was allowing when this was painted?" he asked, pointing to a portrayal of a youthful woman with sad eyes. Maya signed. "Perhaps she was just tired of sitting still." He laughed. "You sound like you know her." "I restore her. I spend hours gaping at her face." "You start to wonder." Luca looked at her, really looked. "You must see the world in an intriguing way." "Further than you know," Maya allowed. She was floundering to keep the swells of color under control. Being near him was like standing too close to fire, beautiful and dangerous. "Do you ever paint your own effects?" he asked suddenly. "No," she said snappily. "I only restore. I fix what's formerly been created." He lowered slightly. "But do you want to produce commodity new?" She opened her mouth, but the verity tangled on her lingo, because the real answer was yes and no. Chapter 4 Rain and Revelation, they talked for hours. When Maya eventually glanced at the time, the sky outside was dark and the storm had passed. But Luca didn't feel in a hurry to leave. "Do you believe in fate?" he asked as they stood near a form of integrated hands. "I believe in art," she replied. "And that's kind of the same thing." He beamed. "Perhaps. But I suppose this, us meeting like this, it feels like commodity out of a novel." "I don't live in novels," she said still. "I live in careful, conservative reality." "And do you like it there?" he asked. She didn't answer, because suddenly, her vision was pulsing with color again. Luca's presence brought out commodities she had kept buried for times. Emotion. Changeable, beautiful, intimidating emotion. When he eventually left, Maya stood alone in the gallery, hands pulsing, vision stained with stripes of violet and gold. For the first time in times, she didn't want to return to black and white. Chapter 5, A Spark Ignites the Coming Day, he returned, and the day after that. Occasionally, he came with coffee and stories from metropolises she had only pictured of. Other times, he just watched her work, fascinated by the way she handled skirmishes and light. They started to talk about effects that signified books, regrets, dreams they didn't tell anyone differently. I suppose you're hysterical of color, he said formally. She had laughed. That's one way to put it. But you feel it, he added, further than anyone I've ever met. Maya didn't deny it. How could she? Luca made her feel seen. And in his presence, she wasn't just a quiet gallery restorer presently. She was someone alive. Also one autumn, as sun streamed through the altitudinous windows and illuminated the edge of a smile, he reached out and put away a slapdash beachfront of hair behind her observance. The moment his fritters brushed her skin, the world exploded into scarlet. And Maya did commodity she no way allowed she could do. She let it. A world repainted days turned into weeks. What began as chance had bloomed into meter, a soft, various meter that rewrote Maya's Argentine, tinted routine. The gallery felt warmer when Luca was there. Her mornings came lustrously, her afterlife fuller, and her formerly silent gloamings were now painted with late-night textbooks and phone calls that made her laugh further than she had in times. But it was Ent just horse laugh. It was the way he noticed the lowest effects, how she lifted her head when examining brushstrokes, how her eyes dallied a little longer on oils of lonely numbers, how her hands shook slightly when she was emotionally overwhelmed but trying to hide it. You're an artist, he said one evening as they sat beneath a cover of yellowing leaves in the domain. I'm a restorer, she corrected. He shook his head. You bring effects back to life. That's a kind of art. Two. She wanted to believe him. Truly, she did. But the verity was still nestled in a dark place inside her. The part of her that knew if she ever really let go, if she completely embraced the chaos of feeling, the world would come too important to handle. Yet with Luca, she set up herself drifting near to the edge. Chapter 7 cracks in the frame one evening. As rain rumored outside her apartment window, Luca brought over takeout and a worn trip journal. They sat on the bottom, girdled by scattered sketches and soft lamplight, reading audibly from runners filled with messy handwriting and recollections. I wrote this in Morocco, he said, flipping to a canine, eared runner. I got caught in a sandstorm and ended up sharing sanctum with a family who fed me and tutored me how to dance under the stars. Sounds like commodity out of a dream, she muttered. He looked at her also, really looked. Come with me, he said. Maya blinked. What? When I leave coming month, come with me. Anywhere you want. Italy. Japan. Iceland. Let's just go. Together. Her heart pounded. I see a ant, she rumored. Why not? I'm not like you. I do ant live in stir. I live in stillness. But do you want to stay still? She couldn't answer. The color in her vision blurred. Yellow. Red. Blue. All tangled and violent. I'm sorry, she rumored. Luca looked hurt, but he didn't press. Rather, he still packed up his journal, kissed her on the forepart, and left. Chapter 8 Murk of Silence, the days that followed were cold. Luca still came to the gallery, but less frequently. When he did, there was space between them. Space that hadn't been there ahead. And Maya, scarified of drowning in her own feelings, did Ent know how to cross it? She tried to go back to her old routines. The coffee, the music, the black and white sketches. But everything felt wrong, like trying to breathe aquatic. One night, she sat in front of a blank oil, not a restoration piece. A real, untouched oil. And for the first time in times, she picked up encounter and let her hands move freely. She didn't suppose. She didn't plan. She painted. With color. Bold, wild strokes of sanguine and amber, cerulean and gold. It was ant neat. It was ant perfect. But it felt, And when she stepped back, heart pounding, hands stained with makeup, she realized she had painted him. Not his face, not exactly, but the way he made her feel. The way his presence had colored her world. She cried also, not out of sadness, but release. Chapter 9, The Letter a Week Latterly. Luca didn't show up at the gallery, nor the coming day, or the coming. Maya's world grew still again, but this time it was ant peaceful. It was concave. Also one morning, she set up a letter at the frontal office of the gallery with her name written in messy, familiar handwriting. She opened it with pulsing fritters. Maya, I didn't want to vanish without saying goodbye, but I felt like staying any longer would only make it harder for both of us. When I first met you, I allowed you like a gallery piece, delicate, untouchable, trapped in glass. But I was wrong. You're not trapped. You're just spooked to the light. And perhaps I see and pull you into it. Perhaps you have to walk there on your own. But if you ever do, I'll be staying. Nearly out there, painting the world with stories. And hoping you'll find me when you are ready. Luca Maya gripped the letter to her casket, her vision swimming in tinges of heartache and craving. And also she looked at the oil she had painted. The bone that bled with all the colors he brought into her life. She had been hysterical of color, but now she was hysterical of commodity differently. A world without him. Breaking the frame, Maya sat on the bottom of her apartment. The letter from Luca crumpled in her hands, the oil of him still drying in the corner. She felt like commodity inside her had cracked, not broken, but opened. The silence she had always cleaved fell heavier now, no longer a sanctuary but captivity. Four times, she had lived in black and white, because it was safe. But Luca had shown her that color, indeed in its chaos, was life. She had pushed him down out of fear. But now, what scarified her more was the idea of no way seeing him again. That night, she couldn't sleep. She lay awake, aloud about the first time she saw him, soaking wet, smiling at the gallery door, and how, with just one look, her world had changed. By morning, she had made her decision. It was time to leave the frame she had painted around her life. Chapter 11A canvas called Love Maya took the oil of Luca to her original gallery the coming day. It was her first submission as an original artist. The watchman, an aged woman with a keen eye, studied the work for a long time, also looked up with a smile. It's raw, emotional, alive. It feels like someone rediscovering their soul. Maya nearly cried at that. The gallery offered to point the piece in their downtime exhibition, and for the first time in her life, Maya said yes to commodity unknown. Subsequently, she went home, packed a small wallet, and bought a train ticket. She didn't know exactly where Luca had gone, but she flashed back a place he'd spoken of further than formerly. Cinque Terre, a small riverside ville in Italy, with sun-drenched escarpments and various houses piled like mystification pieces against the ocean. He called it an oil that forgot it was ain't real. It sounded like the kind of place a man like Luca would go to stay for commodity or someone. Chapter 12 in Living Color Cinque Terre was everything he described and further. Maya arrived just before evening, the sky painted in gouache tones of lavender, coral, and gold. Her eyes soaked from the beauty of it, from the possibility. She asked around, showed a print she had formerly taken of Luca, vague but smiling. And, eventually, at a quiet cafe overlooking the ocean, someone said, "Ah, yes." He writes then occasionally. Comes around mornings. Maya came back the coming day. And the coming. On the fourth morning, just as she was beginning to lose stopgap, she heard a familiar laugh from across the galleria. Her heart leapt. He was sitting beneath a blue and white marquee. Tablet open, sunglasses perched on his head. His hair was longer, his skin scourged by the sun. He hadn't seen her yet. She walked toward him sluggishly, the world pulsing around her in stripes of every color. And also he looked up. Chapter 13, The Reunion. For a long moment, neither of them moved. Also Lucas stood up, stunned. "Maya," she jounced, unfit to speak through the knot in her throat. "I allowed," he started, but she was formally in his arms. "I was hysterical," she rumored into his casket. "I know. But I'm not presently," she said, pulling back to look at him. You were right. I was spooked of light, spooked of feeling too much. But living without you, that's what really hurts. Luca cupped her face gently, smiling like she was the most beautiful oil he'd ever seen. So what now? Now, she said, we color the world together. And also she kissed him. The world exploded around her, red, gold, violet, blue. Every shade of love, every tinge of stopgap. And for formally, she didn't near her eyes. Chapter 14 Ever After. In color Maya stayed in Cinque Terre. She painted every day. Pictures, places, passions. She and Luca traveled, but always returned to their little apartment overlooking the ocean. Her work began to appear in galleries across Europe, known for its emotional sprightliness and luminous layers. Luca wrote books filled with stories of love and the way it reshapes lives. He always said his favorite story began in a gallery on a stormy day. And Maya? She still saw colors when she felt, but she no longer stressed them. Because now, she had someone to take them with, and in his arms and their life together. She had set up a thing she no way allowed possible, a picture painted not in Argentine, not in silence, but in every shade of love.